So this massive train derailment and deadly chemical burn in East Palestine, Ohio, is far from the first accident to impact. You know what? Actually, far from the first U.S. government-sponsored attack to impact U.S. infrastructure. You might remember, all last year we saw all kinds of bizarre fires and disasters affecting U.S. food plants. More than 150 in total. Gone. Disintegrated. Obliterated. No more food from 150 food plants in this country. All the while, the price of food went through the roof, skyrocketed. We're seeing an increase in these fluke power outages, too. Oh, and there's already been another train derailment in Louisiana. Oh, and another train derailment in Spartanburg County, South Carolina. Oh, and another train derailment in Montgomery County, Texas. What the hell is going on? Josh Reed is a 10-year veteran of the United States Navy. He's the founder of the Red Pill Project. As a veteran, he knows a little bit about the whole chemical burn process that they're following right now in Ohio. You see, in the United States military, it was a common practice to just burn all kinds of junk in huge burn pits. Then years later, of course, soldiers who did that came down with all kinds of cancers and other illnesses. Huh. One of the victims may have even been Bo Biden, who got cancer at a young age after serving in Iraq. So could they now be testing this burn pit concept on the United States population? We think so. What does Josh Reed think? He joins us now. Josh, thank you so much for making the time to be here. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, Stu.
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, you're familiar with this. You tell us.
Well, you know, Stu, what was interesting about the whole East Palestine thing that I saw was vinyl chloride. And we saw that they had to contain that, so they did a controlled explosion, if you even want to call it a controlled explosion.
I saw a video of this thing. This doesn't look very controlled to me at all. I mean, no. We've got winds blowing these toxic carcinogens all over the freaking East Coast.
Well, yeah. And here's the biggest problem that I saw is that vinyl chloride, when you heat it up, it begins to break down into two various substances. One of these is hydrochloric acid. And when that mixes with water vapor, it produces basically big clouds of hydrochloric acid, which are corrosive and deadly. And they're going to go down into the water, into the soil when they start to lower. And this is going to be detrimental to our environment. The other one is a chemical known as phosgene. Now, this is one thing that nobody's talking about out there. Now, phosgene, for anybody who doesn't know, is a chemical weapon listed under the Chemical Weapons Convention. It was used in World War I to kill over 85,000 Germans. This is one of the byproducts of burning vinyl chloride. Who in their right mind would allow this to actually happen? I understand that they had to contain it, but this is just absurd. Why wouldn't they put precautionary measures in place? Why wouldn't they have at least tried to dam off or put some type of mechanisms to stop the outpour down to the Ohio River, which we're now seeing all this stuff is getting into the Ohio River. It's getting into the water aquifers underneath. This is the groundwater that people utilize for drinking. They utilize it for irrigation. They utilize it for livestock. We're seeing today reports of chickens dead. We're seeing fish floating up the surface. I've seen reports of animals coming out of the woods and just dropping dead. We have children, 5-year-old children coming on TV who can't breathe, they're coughing, there's a lung irritant. Well, guess what phosgene is? It's exactly that. It's a pulmonary irritant. This is just completely absurd. And the fake Joe Biden administration that we have out there right now in Washington, D.C. is failing America once again and allowing this to happen and not even mentioning it.
Well, I agree with some of that sentiment. I agree that he's fake. But I don't think that they're failing. I think that they're actually succeeding here. I think that this was done intentionally. I mean, you served in the United States military. You have been a part of these burn pits. People know what's going to happen when they light these things on fire. And if we didn't before the burn pits in Iraq, certainly we learned that. I mean, I know that as a bounty hunter for 15 years, my squad partner was a guy called Richard Leonard, a Purple Heart recipient. He was in Iraq. He was around those burn pits. He knows all about them. He told me about them. Certainly there's knowledge out there about this. So how can we assume that this was done accidentally when clearly the people that are supposedly in charge of our infrastructure and cleaning this stuff up are supposed to be the experts on all of this and have this knowledge?
Well, I don't think this was done accidentally, and I agree with you wholeheartedly that this is not being reported by the government. FEMA's not there because they don't care and they're allowing it to happen. And when we start looking at this bigger picture, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and he said that, hey, did you know that chloride-type neurotoxins actually latch on to the spike protein and can exacerbate any types of illnesses. And then it started to click and make sense. Why not release these types of toxins in these environments? People who have been jabbed all of a sudden start to have various different types of illnesses, diseases, cancers, and so forth that are exacerbated.
Yeah, as if they're not going to be dealing with that already.
Right. So
we're talking about millions of people impacted. Speak to the fact that this is now in the air. I mean, this isn't just, you know, a liquid that went on the ground that they could contain before it got to the Ohio River, but now this is in the air, in the soil, in the river that flows into the Mississippi. How do we get this under control? How many millions of people could potentially be impacted with these carcinogens?
Your guess is as good as mine. I mean, this is beyond an ecological disaster in the United States right now. I mean, you have the Ohio River Valley that's going to be contaminated and infected. You have a large portion of the U.S. food supply that's going to be impacted. This is the heartland of farm country and livestock. We're talking about cattle. We're talking about pigs. We're talking about chickens. We're talking about 8% of the U.S. soybean, which 97% is utilized to feed livestock, is produced in Ohio alone. If you take into account everything downstream from there, this is going to be a supply chain disaster. And I think that this is where the bigger picture starts to come into play, because you were talking about the food processing manufacturing facilities that have been burned down. We were also talking about the other attacks on supply chain and infrastructure that have occurred over the last 2 to 3 years in this country.
We're each other's force.
Life is good, Jack. I hope it lasts forever.
Let's watch a sitcom or something.
No!
They're calling it the airborne toxic event.
It won't come this way.
Will we have to leave our home?
Of course not.
How do you know?
I just know.
Okay, what if it's dangerous?
Evacuate all places of residence.
The Norfolk Southern disaster in East Palestine, Ohio is connected directly by water to the states of Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, Arkansas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. And when you get to the coast, Alabama, Florida, and Texas. People do not understand the magnitude of this catastrophe.
So I walked up to the cage and this is what I found.
Amanda Brashears was going to feed her 5 hens and rooster this morning when she discovered them all lifeless, practically in the same position, with no signs of a predator entering their enclosure.
I'm beyond upset and quite panicked because they may be just chickens, but they're family.
Brashear says her chickens were alive and well yesterday. She believes the smell following the detonation of the train carrying chemicals that derailed in East Palestine is to blame for her birds' sudden death.
To wake up and discern the times. The hour is late. I don't say that to scare you, but to prepare you. Many of the things that Jesus himself described as initial indicators of the last days are happening now. In Matthew 24, Jesus told us that in the last days, there would be people falsely coming in his name. Wars and threats of wars, food shortages, earthquakes, an intensified persecution of God's people, a mass falling away from the faith, an increase in wickedness and selfishness, and we are definitely seeing that now. But here's the primary sign of the end, and it's actually good news. The gospel will be spread throughout the world. Revival, not retreat, will be the church's posture in the last days. In the end, God wins. In the last days, perilous times will come, but be encouraged, because even in the last days, the gospel still has power. So worship, don't worry, Jesus is coming soon.
Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Lisa, and I'm here to share the latest word given to Glenda Lomax. The title is, Am I Not Mighty Enough? And this word was posted February 14th, 2023. My children, do not fret about where you are or where you are not in this time. Am I not mighty enough to move you into place? Am I not mighty enough to protect you wherever you are? Just as I did the three Hebrew men? Where is your faith in me, children? It is true your lands are about to become more dangerous than ever. It is also true many of you will not remain in this earth as this happens, as I am calling many home whose works are nearly done there. Those of you who remain have work to do and refining to finish. You will be called home as soon as you complete these. Do not allow the enemy to frighten you about what is coming. Though much death shall abound, you know the things I have told you. You know I am well able to protect you. You know you are to be about my business in the earth. Redeem the time. Work while it is still day. And that is the end of this message. I pray you all have a beautiful day in the Lord. God bless each and every one of you, and I will see you either next video or in the air. Bye-bye.
This next piece of footage, uploaded to TikTok by user Sapam Horror, shows something rather terrifying. The clip appears to be an excerpt of security camera footage captured inside a very large warehouse. We see a worker stacking boxes on a shelf, when suddenly something rather strange happens. Watch. The pallet full of boxes waiting to be shelved suddenly begins sliding across the floor, narrowly missing him as it moves. However, the odd activity doesn't end there. Seconds later, the boxes that the worker has just been shelving begin to topple to the ground. That's when things turn from eerie to downright terrifying. Watch what happens next. The man falls to the floor and begins to slide across the concrete, one leg extended out from his body, as if being dragged by an unseen force. While it's possible that the falling boxes and moving pallet could have been staged as part of an elaborate prank, surely the worker being dragged down the aisle would be too difficult to pull off. So what's going on here then? Is it all just an over-elaborate hoax, or is this warehouse really being haunted by a rather dangerous poltergeist? Let me know where you sit on this strange one in the comments down below.
Hey everyone, hey dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Fabrizio Federico is a movie director. I've never heard of him before, but he has some social media, and in that social media, he does the vow of silence here. Is he keeping the secret of the biblical world? About fame, fortune, and success, and most likely about Freemasonry? He's throwing up the devil horns there. And there's some interesting, looks like blood behind him. He's wearing the devil horns, and he's wearing the devil horns. Is he a cult filmmaker? And he's got one eye, the symbolism there. The vow of silence again. He's doing 666 in the Eye of Horus. How classic is that? He's into tarot cards, which is something no person should do, especially Christians. and he's hiding his hand in his coat the way a Freemason would do. This is our biblical world. This is our entertainment. This is real. God bless you, everyone.
So, Ben, you got an L5 ruptured disc, L4. We didn't pray for you before. Okay, put down your son for a moment. Put your hand on the disc. It's the power of God going through the disc. Power of God going through the disc.
Oh, joy.
Treasures of heaven going into your sister. Treasures of heaven. Power of God on your disc. Power of God on your disc, sir. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Okay, bend over, sir, do something. What's happening?
It's not done yet.
Okay, try again.
No pain. No pain that time.
Who healed you?
My Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And your son has a brain tumor? Is this your son? Is this your son?
Yeah, he's got benign tumors all over his brain and his kidneys. So he's on a lot of heavy meds for seizures and blood thinners for his kidneys and such.
Let's all reach out our hands towards the boy. Jesus is able. Everyone start praying. Everyone start praying. Everyone start praying. Sister in the black, come here for a moment. In the black, come. Sister, come. Come. That's the power of God on you to pray. Quickly, quickly. You feel that power?
Yes, yes.
That's the power of God on you, on your hand. Pray.
Boy, pray for your healing in Jesus' name. Your power of love, your power of grace, Lord, for this boy, Lord.
That's the power of God going through your hand into the boy. We take authority over the tumors. In Jesus' name, we command them all out, all out, all out of this boy. In Jesus' name. All out of this boy. All the seizures, medication, everything to stop. Oh, that's the power of God going through your hand, sister. What does that feel like? It's the power of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Lupus. Pull the chair up. She's having a giggle, everyone. You're all worried that she got hurt. She's having a giggle.
You said that your back hurts.
Yes.
How bad does it hurt?
Right now, I'll give it about a 10.
10, really? Why? What? How'd you hurt it?
Well, I used to be a pharmacy technician. And I did a lot of standing, a lot of moving around, and then sometimes I'd be on this carpet. And then I was in like 2 car accidents as well. My kids and I was on banging, turning off of banging onto the Australia. Truck spent out of control, and we went into the tree instead of the water.
Oh no!
So it's trauma.
Oh, yeah.
When you get into a car accident, it's trauma that attaches to you. So like when we pray for that, we're telling unclean spirits that cause trauma to get away.
Yes.
All right. So. So, Lord Jesus, I said to this young lady, I know you belong to Jesus. You believe in Jesus. She said, oh, yes, I do. And so she belongs to you, Lord, and you want her healed. And so right now, you spirit of trauma and pain, leave her back right now in Jesus' name. Get out of her back in the name of Jesus Christ. Trauma go. Fear go. Yes. Doubt go. Sadness go. Heart be healed. Jesus loves you. He forgives you of your sins. You belong to him. He's got a great plan for your life. He's got a plan for everybody. You are unique. That was a confirmation that morning. So be healed in Jesus' name. Now move around. Tell me if what's going on there.
Amen. Wow. Wow.
It's God?
Yeah. Praise the Lord. How'd you do that? Oh, wow.
Jesus.
Go like this.
Yeah. I'm serious. Yes.
The Lord is good.
How long have you had that thing?
Like, for years.
Years? Is the first time in years? How many years?
Like, I would say like 4 years,
and this is the first time it's gone 4 years?
Thank you.